The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And this is the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. We're about to make Bernard Walsh a busy man. Bernard is Director of Pensions and Investments at PwC, which means questions like what life policy should you take out, what smart strategies can minimise inheritance tax, all of that stuff he can answer. And we have had questions coming in all morning to WhatsApp on 087 1400 106 and to text on 53106. And you can throw in any questions that you have for Bernard to those numbers, and we will try to get through them if we possibly can. Bernard, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Anton.
Let us kick off then with the pension related right at the wheelhouse. I've recently become a director of a company with a share of 20%. I'm 40 years old with a very small pension. Are there any benefits pension wise to being a director, and how should I structure my pension?
Yeah, lots of choice. And, you know, being a director, you get to make some good decisions here. Good news, you can have employer contributions as well as employee contributions. An employee in, you know, in their 40s can put up to 25% of their salary into the pension. But if you want to look at smart ways of paying yourself, and unfortunately, a lot of directors leave themselves last when it comes to paying themselves out of the business, pay yourself and also pay into your pension fund. It's the most tax efficient way of taking money out of your business.
So rather than taking a dividend in cash where you will incur the effectively income tax on it, if you put it into the pension, you shield it from that tax.
Absolutely. Yeah, you get employer tax relief on it, and there's limits on the maximum amount you can put into it. And there are a couple of different structures there, whether it's to use a PRSA, whether it is to use an occupational pension scheme. That's one you get advice on.
Another one says, re-pensions. How much of an annuity could I buy with €250,000? I'm a 68-year-old non-smoker male.
Interesting. A non-smoker doesn't get as good a rate as a smoker. So smokers get what's called an enhanced annuity rate, which means that they get paid much more, because the reality is we probably won't be paying it out for as long.
No, so is that true?
That is true. Yeah, that is true.
Can you take up smoking to benefit from that rate?
We have ways of checking these things. We don't actually follow you around, but we do check. In this case here, you can buy, let me give you what it would mean in old school pounds, shillings and pence. You can have what's called a 5-year guarantee period. That means if you do pass away, you don't lose out all of the benefit of your guaranteed income for life, which is what an annuity is. So on that basis, and if you include inflation, for it to grow in line with inflation, you'd get about 11,000 a year for your 250,000. If you just went down the route of without any escalation, this guaranteed, this growth in line with inflation, you'd get about 15,000 euros a year.
And just to understand that, what effectively that means is you give the whole 250,000 euro to company and they will give you 11,000 euro until you pop your clogs, even if you make it to 100.
That's it. Yep, absolutely. They take the risk on how long you live. But if you pass away, it dies with you. But if you have this guarantee period, well, at least you get payments for a certain number of years.
Another one saying, is now a good time to be investing in a pension, given what Warren Buffett believes that the entire stock market is overvalued by 200% and has offloaded a large percentage of his company's stock?
Yeah, he's known as the Sage of Omaha. He's the most famous investor in the world. He's called it right for many, many years. And we've seen quite a sell-off so far this year. Look, most of the people we talk to are saving for a very, very long period of time. They might be saving for their retirement or saving to grow money. There's no doubt you're going to get ups and downs along the way. We get a crash in the markets about every four and a half years. So if you were to say to somebody over a longer term savings journey, you're going to have some ups and downs. I think let's just focus on what your goals are. If your goals are to grow your money, then certainly I would be looking at, but make sure that you're not narrowly invested. Make sure you've got a good diversification in your pot. The old phrase about not putting all your eggs in one basket are as true today as they ever are.
I'm 58 and in a defined benefit pension. Oh, defined benefit pension.
Yep. Yep.
I have 270,000 in AVCs, which I moved into a cash fund recently. Should I leave it in cash or reinvest in a higher risk option? Remind us, AVCs?
Additional voluntary contributions. So if you're in a main pension scheme, you can put in some more money up to an age-related maximum, and you get tax relief on that. Something I would encourage people to do if they can afford to do it. And you see a lot of people in their, let's say their late 50s, if you know they've knocked a good hole in their mortgage and they have a few quid, you don't have to do it on a set amount every month. You can do it by way of a lump sum. It's a good way to build up savings. And interestingly for this person here, they've got it. What it does, it gives you choice. So what you can use it for, which your defined benefit is, you can increase the amount of tax-free money you get at retirement, or you can use it as a way of enhancing your income, or to draw down, to have it as an investment when it comes to retirement. If you're 58 years of age, number one question is, when do you plan to retire? So if you're going to retire at 60, Your investment horizon is relatively short. If you're going to retire at 65 or 66, well, you've got a longer horizon. So if you're saying about moving out of cash and you're going to retire in the near future, maybe not the best idea. If you've got a longer term horizon, absolutely well worth considering.
Are there many with defined benefit pensions? And is it a thing that still exists for people who can enrol in now? I assume that they're hen's teeth.
They're very, very rare. There's hardly any of them have been established in the last 20 years. You still have people who have them, and generally they hang on to them as long as they possibly can. A defined benefit guarantees a set amount that will be paid based on your final salary and your service when you come to retirement. They're certainly a very valuable entity, impossible to get today.
Another one says, under the new averaging contributory pension system requiring 40 years of full contributions rather than 10 years as up to now, will it be possible to buy back years to cover the gaps?
There's loads of questions in around this one. The one thing I'd say to everybody is find out what you're entitled to, okay? And go to mywelfare.ie. There are two ways in which you can calculate your entitlement to the state pension. One of them is about averaging over your lifetime. One of them is a total contributions approach. It is changing at the moment. Just find out for your own. They're incredibly helpful. They'll tell you what you have, what you're entitled to, and also what you need to do. Just remember, you can defer receiving the state pension until the age of 70. And for some people, that might allow them to build up what we used to call stamps. Now it's PRSI contributions. So what can you build up? So I would just say to anybody, go out and find out exactly what you're entitled to.
Another one. I am 56, have no private pension. Can you ask your pension advisor, A, is there a pension product that one can invest a lump sum in at my age? And can the investment come from income earned in the UK, therefore taking advantage of tax relief?
Okay, first part, if you can take out a private pension depending on whether you're in a company pension scheme or not. So there's some rules around what you're entitled to do. But just look at, you know, let's assume that for the moment that they, whether they're in employment or not, you can put money into your pension scheme at age 56 if you've done nothing in this country to date. The good news at 56, you can put in up to 35% of your salary in your own name, which is a huge amount of money. You can do it by way of a lump sum or do it on a regular basis. But to claim tax relief, you must be paying income tax in Ireland. So you must be paying tax on the income that you're earning in this country if you were to claim tax relief on it, not on the income tax that you're paying in the UK.
Explain one part of this to me, because going back to Warren Buffett, one of the things that Warren Buffett has long been a fan of is the joy of compound interest. And my understanding with pensions was that what you really wanted was get in there when you're about 4 years of age, start saving, you compound it up, and by the time you hit 70, you're okay. If you're 56 and you have a lump sum, are you as well to keep the lump sum? Because you're not going to be exposed to much in the way of compound interest for a long time before you'll start drawing.
Well, let's just say that somebody has 10,000 euros as their lump sum, and they put that in to by way of a pension, and they're entitled to top rate tax relief. Well, effectively, their 10,000 euros will cost them six, because they get four back, because they get tax relief on that money. But your 10,000 grows tax free all the way through till the time when they reach retirement. And when they reach retirement, they can draw down a quarter of that money tax free. So the tax advantages are absolutely huge. It's never too late and it's never too early. And just the example you said about the earlier you start, there's so many wonderful examples. You know, if you start by doing a small bit, you can accumulate this pot over time.
You mentioned the 30% as a maximum contribution. Are there certain pensions? This goes back to the question about the person being a company director. Are there certain pensions that allow you to go beyond the 30% maximum contribution?
There are opportunities to invest more depending on what occupation you have and whether your employer, if you add what the employer puts in and what you put in. Remember, the maximum I spoke about there is the maximum an individual can put in. Your company can put in much more of that. And one thing I'd say to anybody out there is, if you want to get into and start building up a pension pot, the greatest way to start is to get someone to help you, and that's your employer. So find out if you are entitled to join a company pension scheme and if they'll make a contribution for you. And later this year, everybody will be enrolled one way or the other, either through the auto-enrolment state scheme or hopefully if they've got an opportunity to join your company scheme. But that's a great way. Get more than just you saving for your retirement.
Now, one of these texts that I very much enjoy, because I have no idea what any of it means, but hopefully you will. I am about to purchase voluntary contributions at Class 2 from the UK. With my already paid contributions, it'll approximately give me 94% of the state pension. I will have an entitlement to the Irish Contributory State Pension and a very small occupational pension. Where will my tax liability lie, and how much tax will I be liable for as a married person with the married tax credits?
The last part, we would be the rest of this show and the one coming after it, trying to explain all of it. If you're living in Ireland, we have a double tax agreement with the UK. You should be liable to tax in Ireland is the main one. And after that, I would just go to the revenue and put your exact situation to it. Again, they're hugely helpful in these ones here, but I would genuinely be here until...
And when you say go to revenue, do you mean go to revenue and they have a chatbot, or will an actual human explain things to you?
Yeah, you can get both. They're incredibly helpful. A lot of people are afraid, if I ring them up, will I poke the bear in some way? Anything but. They're incredibly helpful. You know, they're really, really good. So I very much encourage people, use the online service.
Even at the risk that you will make them aware that you exist and draw them on you.
Yeah, they're really, I mean, again, just like mywelfare.ie, hugely helpful. And the important thing, look, I saw a great survey during the week that said 81% of people in Ireland have mental health issues related to their personal finances. Why is that? Because they don't spend the time to get advice and don't spend the time trying to find out the answers to the questions that are really bothering them. By spending that time and getting those answers, it just gives you at least a sense of where you are and what you can do.
We have another unicorn. I'm due to receive a defined benefit pension. If I pass on within 5 years, my wife receives a pro rata reduced pension. After that, when I pass on, the benefits are zero. Should I therefore switch my pension into a PRSA so I can pass on my pension pot to my to my children? Are there any disadvantages?
Yeah, there are some people who do this. When it comes to retirement, they'll take their pension pot and they'll convert it into an asset instead of a source of income. This could be due to health-related issues. So if they've had some major health issues where a guaranteed income for life may not last that long for them. So in certain circumstances, it may be an advantage to move out of that gold-plated, wonderful defined benefit we talked about earlier on. But my God, you really need to weigh up the pros and cons on this. The pros about doing it, the asset becomes part of your estate. The negative of it is you're giving up this guaranteed income for the rest of your life.
But it really is an exercise. Even the weighing up is an exercise in extreme altruism, because the choice is, do I want to benefit myself until I die?
Yeah.
Or do I want to enshrine something that may benefit me less, but my descendants more?
And again, one of the surveys this week from the central bank talked about the amount of people are saving and putting money aside primarily for their kids. I know my own parents do talk about skiing, which stands for spend the kids' inheritance. An appalling concept, but one that they believe in strongly. But you know what I would say to people is, when it comes to your own finances, remember what they say to you on the airplane. You know, put on your own oxygen mask first, and after that, look after everybody else.
Bernard, thank you very much. That is Bernard Walsh, who is Director of Pensions and Investment at PwC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.